T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Right now, let's bring in our buddy Dave McMenamin from ESPN.com. He's got the Cavs covered.
Gotta say,
I saw him on the jump earlier today.
I was going to say the same thing. They were doing the jump at Town Hall, and we'll bring Dave in. Dave, you looked awesome today, man.
Looking good.
The suit, I'm a little jealous. The suit was looking sharp. The beard's on point. You look great, man.
The beard's looking, proper for TV. Appreciate it, guys.
No, you look pretty, look very proper.
Yeah. Well, Dave,
I hope the Cavs look as good tonight, or at least Cavs fans hope they look as good tonight.
That's true.
That's right.
We'll hope they're worthy of your suit, Dave. The way we'll see, because they weren't in game number 5, so hopefully they will be in game 6. And Dave is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dave, going into game 5, we kept asking the question: did the Cavs find something in 3 or 4, or is it really just about home court? And after game 5, it felt like, well, it was just about home court. It can't be that simple, though, can it, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I've been coming to the league for a little bit now, over a decade, and this is the one playoff series that stands out as to the biggest X factor. It's not a player, it's not coaching, it's not adjustments throughout the series, it's where they're playing the game. Obviously, that bodes well for the Cavs in game 6, but really doesn't bode well at all for them advancing to a 4-3 NBA Finals. So, I thought that you look back at game 5, they had their moments. I mean, I guess the one thing that they can feel good about themselves, and I asked LeBron about this morning, when you look at game 5 and you try to find something positive to take into game 6, what is it? Defensively, they held Boston under 40% shooting, only 96 points. There was never a point where the Celtics got so far rolling on offense that the Cavs were completely out of it. I mean, it was a 12-point game with 7.5 minutes to go. And the Cavs from that point got 4 more stops in a row, but Korver gets blocked by Tatum. Jordan Clarkson missed 2 straight threes on the right wing, and LeBron misses a layup. Korver gets a dunk on the other end, and then that momentum is over. But if they can apply the defensive intensity and focus that they had and then make some outside shots, which they tend to do at home for whatever reason, we should be looking at a full-fledged Game 7 on Sunday.
Dave, I know you wrote an article today, talking about some of the rotations and things like that, mm-hmm. and how Ty Lue, he admitted, to basically, the whole Semi Ojeleye thing kind of threw them for a loop with Kyle Korver. Expand on that a little bit
crazy.
More. It seems crazy that would be such a big impact on what the Cavs do, but you guys talked to Ty again several times, I'm sure, after the game, and he's not backing down from his decision.
Sure. I mean, now, on its face, the Cavs' third leading scorer in the playoffs did not immediately go into the game in the first quarter because of the Celtics' ninth man wasn't on the court. That sounds crazy, right?
But
It does, yeah.
There's a thought process behind it. You go back to game 1 of the series, Kyle Korver was out there when the Celtics took it to the Cavs on the offensive end, and they were hunting him on offense against Jaylen Brown. And not only did that hurt the Cavs defensively, but Kyle Korver never got going on offense. He only scored 5 points in game 1. The coaching staff is of the opinion that, Kyle Korver can be a much different player when he comes out and starts the game by making his first shot or two than when he comes out by missing a first shot or two. And if he's missing his first shot or two and getting exposed on the defensive end, it's not a good situation because they need Kyle. So Ty made the calculation. He saw Ojeleye wasn't coming in. It wasn't like he was, he used the term throwing for a loop, and I think that's part of the reason why people are jumping down his throat here. He saw what was happening. He processed it. He said, we're down 9 points right now. It's 24-15. They are just taking it to us on the defensive end right now. Our defensive end is looking bad. Putting in a 37-year-old who would not have really a good matchup out of any of the 5 Celtics on the court, Ty thought it was a bad idea. It'd be a bad look. And he said, you know what? The momentum will naturally shift in between the first and second quarter break. And that's a more comfortable environment for Kyle Korver to enter in the game. And that's what he did. Kyle Korver ended up playing 19 minutes. He was averaging 22 in the series. Kyle Korver ended up taking 6 shots, but averaged 7 in the series. It didn't really change his output. But because, I guess, his answer left himself open for criticism, Ty Lue became the whipping boy in between games 5 and 6.
We're talking – it's true. That's true. Dave McMenamin of ESPN, he's at the queue. Dave, any truth to the rumor that during the conference call with Ty Lue yesterday, it was you breaking into his house, and that's why his alarm was going off? Any truth to that rumor?
I think that would be probably Joe Varden of all the beat writers, because he lives down the street from him, from what I understand. But no, sir. I actually missed the conference call. I pulled an all-nighter after game 5, didn't get into my apartment until about 12:30, so I was sound asleep when that conference call happened.
See, that's why you're under suspicion, because you weren't on the call.
There you go. I can see where the finger point is coming from.
That's right.
Dave, do you expect the Cavs to cut the rotation down tonight?
You know, if there is going to be one guy, then that would be, you'd probably point to Jordan Clarkson. The tough part is there is the feast or famine, right? And you've seen a lot more famine with him as of late, but they had a must-win game for all intents and purposes in Game 4 in Indiana, and Jordan Clarkson goes 5-for-5 from the field in the first half and gives them a major boost. He has that offensive ability to give them points in bunches, and especially when you're coming off a game where you only scored 83 points, do you want to, just disregard that Joker card, or do you want to play it? And I don't think Ty's going to cut down to 7. I could be wrong, but I think he stays with 8. Obviously, if in the first half there's nothing going from Korver, then, yeah, you play even more heavy minutes to, guys like LeBron, Love, J.R. Smith, maybe Jeff Green and Korver down the stretch. But I think he will start going in, playing to play 8.
We're talking with Dave McMenamin of ESPN. Dave, like a week ago, it felt like just inevitable that the Warriors are going to win a championship, and that, okay, even yeah, even if the Cavs won, they had no chance. I'm still not confident the Cavs could beat the Warriors, but with what's going on in the West, there's at least a pinch of, okay, maybe there's a chance. The Warriors haven't played well. The Rockets, frankly, haven't played well. They're up 3-2, although Paul's hurt. What do you make of that, and does it feel like if the Cavs can't get over against the Celtics that it was a wasted opportunity with the way those Western teams look right now?
Yeah, I'll just put it this way. I talked to an NBA player today, not a player on the Cavs, they'll remain nameless. But there was the sense that, hey, there is a motivating factor here, an extra motivating factor here, that the door has perhaps been opened up for LeBron and the Cavs to get a chance against a wounded Rockets team to win a championship. And will that factor into the juice that would be brought to the court in game 6? And that player said, yeah. The problem, that player said to me, is that, you know what? It might be too late. You can't – this Boston team has already kind of proven that they're not just going to lay down. And even if you get game 6, you can't just say, you know what? Now that I want to beat the Rockets in the finals, give me game 6 and 7. It might be too late for that. Now, Cavs fans hope that's not the scenario, but I'm really curious to see how that could play out in terms of just that little extra oomph to a guy like LeBron James in game, knowing that there could be a ring on the table if he can get 2 more wins.
Yeah, I've been saying that, Dave. I feel like LeBron specifically could be the one that's looking at – all year you always wonder, does LeBron really feel like he has enough horses here to actually win a championship, or is he just, trying to get back there to get, to lose in 5 or get swept or whatever? But maybe now it's a little bit different, and I wonder how that factors into a game like tonight, right? And obviously on Sunday, does LeBron James have more energy? Did LeBron get his nap today, right? Did he have his 5-hour energy before the game? Is he going to have that? Is he not going to be like having his hands on his knees in the fourth quarter tonight?
Right. I mean, and obviously the fatigue was a factor in game 5, and, LeBron said on the podium that it wasn't, but I spoke to him in the locker room after the game, and he was talking about, man, like, this is going to be game number 99 coming up for me on Friday. If we get to game 7, that's 100. That's the most he's ever played in a single season, between the regular season and the playoffs. So they had to go back to 2011 for that to happen, and that season went to a game 6 of the NBA Finals against the Dallas Mavericks. So he's setting himself up for the most basketball he's ever played in a extended regular season plus playoffs. And that's accumulated. Plus, you throw in the fact that it's less than 48 hours since the last game that he's playing this one. You throw in the fact that they had to fly, and LeBron said he doesn't sleep on flight. All those things could play a factor. But they get a 10-point lead, and this crowd is going insane, and they can kind of front run, and the Boston Celtics young players start to cower. I don't think LeBron's going to be tired. So just the, I guess, the script or the narrative that Game 6 could take could make fatigue a moot point.
Dave, you talk about, you know, LeBron, I don't want to say complaining, but just talking to you about, like, how many games he's played. But ultimately, isn't that his fault, right? Like I was saying earlier, like, you know, LeBron probably shouldn't have played all those regular season games at this point of this age. You know, so is it for me, it's hard to be sympathetic, even though they need him, because he didn't really have to play every game in the regular season. Is that unfair?
Well, one, I would say that it was more an observation by him than
right. No, I wasn't saying he was complaining. I wasn't saying he was complaining.
And then beyond that, I would say, hey, guess what happened last year when he sat out? The Cavs went 0-8. If the Cavs had eight less wins this year, they probably played the first round on the road against Indiana, or they definitely would have played the first round on the road against Indiana. And do they win that game seven, or are they already out of the playoffs at this point? So I think it's hard to go back and blame him for playing those regular season games because obviously, you know, he was the only consistent thing going for the Cavs this year. And without him doing that, who knows what boat they'd be in right now.
Talking to Dave McMenamin of ESPN. Dave, Kevin Love has averaged 14.5 points in the playoffs. Yeah, he was pretty good in the Raptor series.
Here we go again, Dave.
We've had this conversation so many times.
I mean, Dave, come on. It's not unfair to criticize Kevin Love. I mean,
I agree with you there.
Right? I mean, he's been bad in this series. He was bad in the Indiana series. I'm critical because I have high expectations. You know, if some of these other guys don't have good games, I'm like, well, they're just guys. Kevin Love's been an all-star, and he's barely played like it in this postseason.
But I think that almost goes, and that's a fair point to make, and I'm not going to argue on that, but it goes almost to the point of why are we talking about two extra minutes that Kyle Korver could have played in game one? Isn't the bigger issue here the total roster construct that you have 37-year-old player as your third leading scorer in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Isn't the bigger issue here that your second go-to guy doesn't look like a second go-to guy at all? I mean, Kyrie Irving, that's what a second go-to guy is supposed to look like on a championship team. That's what
right.
we saw the last 3 years. Kevin Love hasn't been that guy. You know, I understand, you know, he's not a guy that takes the ball in the backcourt and creates his own shot, so it's on his teammates as well. But, you know, if a guy's not producing, what can you say? And is that going to fall on the coaching staff? Is that going to fall on Kevin? Or is that going to fall on the front office for not putting together a team that would have Kevin in the natural slot he should be, which is the third option, not the second?
Dave, do you think the result of the season, in other words, you know, if the Cavs lost in the finals versus losing to Boston, is that a factor in terms of LeBron's decision at the end of this year?
I think it is. LeBron told Joe Barton late in the regular season when we were in New York that his decision this summer is going to come down to winning and family. And so family,
right.
You'd say that the Cavs have that kind of in their corner, you know, the Northeast Ohio roots. And we know that Savannah, his wife's family, helped raise his kids here. They have an extra, you know, set of eyes and ears and hands and all that stuff while LeBron's on the road. And that's going to be hard to replicate if he moves to a different market. But the winning part, you lose to the Celtics missing their top two players in a home game, and you're out, and your final streak's over. And you look at what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you go, man, when it was winning time, when it was money time, I really got nothing out of the rest of this team. And then you look at the summer, and you say, what flexibility do we have to make this roster better? We have the number 8 pick in the draft, which is, you know, that's okay. That's an asset. But what does that really do? You look at the rest of the roster, you say, is someone perhaps ready to have a leap year the way Jaylen Brown got better from this year to last year? You say, is Jenny Osman going to be that guy? Can I rely on that? I don't know. And so unless, you know, family carries such a huge part of his life at this point, and maybe it does, that winning part is going to be hard to ignore if he wants to re-up for the Cavs for a long-term deal.
I think the hope is that there's no clear option. I mean, do you see a clear option?
The way the teams that are out there that have space are currently constructed, I don't see a clear option.
Right.
But I also know that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are both in very tenuous situations, and wherever they go could change a lot in terms of the teams we would think be viable destinations for LeBron.
How did the Cavs counteract, the moves that were made by Boston, Dave, in Game 5, like the Baines thing and really that. I mean, that was one of the biggest moves that the Cavs had to deal with. I mean, he was so good in the first quarter, it really set the tone.
Yeah, my sources tell me that the Cavs are going to stick with the same starting lineup to start Game 6 that they've gone with since Game 2. If it is big Baines to start, the Cavs will stay big with Tristan Thompson. I think the way you counteract it, and Tyloo and I spoke about this in a press conference going into Game 3, and it echoes what Mike D'Antoni did to turn the series around for the Rockets. He said, we're not going to change what we do, we're just going to do what we do better. And that's the way the Cavs look at this Game 6. They got to take care of the basketball better, they got to move the ball from side to side better, they got to move and cut with a purpose better. They like the physicality they brought to game five. That's one thing that they feel like, okay, you did that better already, so just do that again. And do the other thing, you're going to be playing a game seven.
Dave, great stuff, man. Great work today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.